The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Kez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. The holiday season is just around the corner, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man soap. A big chunk of gingerbread that you can enjoy without it going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap also. And at almost 5 ounces, this soap should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's BobAndChez, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Why make trillions when we could make billions?
A trillion is more than a billion, numbnuts.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it. Zip.
Look, all...
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
Number two, would you please back
Look,
me up?
Look, I'm Zippy Longstockings.
I can't...
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Frown, would you
please... Kizuhai, Pindawa, Mitahioto. Subtitle, zip it.
I'm just trying to...
Zip. Would you like to have a suckle of my zipper?
I want zip. You... Stop.
Really? Zip it.
This... Zip
it.
Oh.
Zip
it. You know what...
Zip it.
You're like a child.
Zip it.
Talking... If you... Just... One time...
Zip.
Making your day a little brighter is quite enough for us.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Tuesday, November 17, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Yo.
Hi, we're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo, or you can head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez and get free legal advice. Now you can also click the link in the podcast page. It's quite convenient for you. Okay, so there's lots to talk about in the news. Obviously, we're going to talk about the attacks in Paris, which actually it all came down when we were doing the after party. So we covered a little bit, at least as it was happening on the after party on Friday. I think we're really going to dive into it today. There's lots to talk about on that front. Not just regarding the issues with Islam and ISIS and what ISIS represents, but also... the refugee crisis and the Republican reaction to all of it, which is predictably dumb.
Yeah. And how front runner Ben Carson would handle something like this. Can you just see it? Can you picture it in your head?
How absurd
it would be.
We talked about this before on the show, didn't we? Where it's like, given the choice between Donald Trump and Ben Carson. Oh, yeah, you talked about this on the Happy Hour, on the Stephanie Miller Show Happy Hour.
Yeah.
Difference between Donald Trump as president and Ben Carson as president, where Donald Trump is like Russia. Like, we were able to deal with Russia.
Yeah.
But Ben Carson is like...
Because Russia's needs,
yeah.
What Russia wanted was very simple. It's the same thing that all dictatorships wanted, basically to stay in power.
Exactly. And dealing with Ben Carson would be like dealing with ISIS.
Yeah, it's like dealing with religious nut jobs.
Just incoherently crazy.
Yep, exactly.
It's Ben Carson.
Unpredictable, incoherent, a jumbled mess of religious sh**.
Exactly. So before we dive in, just a quick plug to go over to stephaniemiller.com and download. First, you have to subscribe. You have to get a StephCast subscription. Subscribe to that and get the Stephanie Miller Show Happy Hour from Friday, which featured Chez participated in Happy Hour on Friday.
And yes, I did.
I actually enjoyed it even more than your first appearance on the Happy Hour.
Really?
Because it was all nice things about me. That's just right.
I said nice things about you. I did.
I couldn't believe it. I said, wow, Chez is actually complimenting me on the happy hour. Isn't that
nice?
Well,
that's because I had to make up for the fact that I said your head is shrinking.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I mean, that was very nice of you. I appreciate that.
Of course.
It was funny. Chris actually said about me that I'm very close to posting a shirtless picture of myself on Facebook.
You're going to. It's only a matter of time.
I will never, ever do that.
And in that particular picture, your head's going to be the size of a golf ball.
It'll be like the Beetlejuice head.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're going to look like.
Comparatively the size of an M&M. Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's what I'll do. As an extra incentive, if we get to $10,000 on patreon.com/Bob and Chez, then I will. I'll post a shirtless picture of myself on Facebook. We get to $10,000.
I can think of a couple people who are emptying their accounts right now.
Of course, for a limited time only. We have to get if we get to $10,000 in less than 6 months from right now, I'll post a shirtless picture of myself on Facebook. And so that'll be a lot of incentive.
Donate the money myself.
I'm sure we're going to get to that number right, like real fast, because there's people lining up around the block to see my nipples. I know that for a fact, right? In fact, I think this is going to prevent us from ever reaching $10,000. People saying, no, I'm withdrawing my pledge. Go away. Don't even think about it. All right. So that was really entertaining. Of course, you can, again, subscribe at stephaniemiller.com. And really enjoy. It's actually Chris Lavoie's last happy hour as a official member of the show. I think what they talked about is that he was going to go back and do a guest spot on there, and maybe do one with Travis and Chris as guests on the happy hour.
That'd be awesome.
And then we also had.
Yeah, it was great. I also felt very legitimately honored that Chris chose me. Like, that was, I was apparently his pick for like his final guest on the happy hour, which I thought was amazingly cool.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. He chose Chez to participate in happy hour.
Which, by the way, is such total I love you, Chris, but I know that like there are people who sold out. Like, you know what? He is definitely my choice, like fourth or fifth after the other people gave up.
So did you sing to him like Bette Midler?
I did not, no.
You didn't sing like Wind Beneath My Wings or something, serenaded? Like Bette Midler serenaded
but that
Johnny.
Was, I mean, honestly, that was a very cool thing to hear. And obviously, the whole crew is awesome. So it's always a good time.
Moving along to recap something we talked about on Thursday. I guess we have to do this. Letters. Well, angry comments. Comments.
We get your letters every day.
Just it's comments, not letters.
Mail today.
So as you could have probably predicted, everyone seemed to love our University of Missouri commentary for half an hour on Thursday's show. I mean, people lining up to say, hey, attaboy, guys, way to go.
Let me guess. Wait, please. How long before somebody said two white guys?
Yeah. Well,
two white men.
We got this one in the comments. Bob and Chez, you ignorant sluts. Seriously, guys, with the Mizzou and Yale situations, I understand where you're coming from. From some of your arguments are valid, the safe spaces, blah, blah, blah. But their overall arguments for inclusion valid. That's okay. A sentence. I don't know what that even means.
Okay. Because they're totally being like run out of college.
That's right.
It requires tanks and members of the National Guard to usher them into school every day.
Right. Basically, you're both grown men, Y-O-U-R, know how to ask for help. Say we're just completely off base. We don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Okay, fine. Yeah, you know what? I need to just shut up and listen.
Listen. Psst, psst.
Just shut up and listen.
Shut up. Listen. No, see, Chez, you're not listening. Gussie Jives in the comments says, right, this is the second time in as many weeks that both of you guys have gone off hippie punching.
I love it when I get accused of that. Trust me, if I had a hippie in front of me, I would happily punch that person.
Now, I've been a longtime listener and will continue to be a longtime listener, but this is one issue that you guys need to work through because it's reared its ugly head far too many times for me to remain silent. It's the one issue where I've sadly had come to the conclusion that you don't speak in good faith.
I don't know. I think I speak in pretty good
faith. We talked about University of Missouri once, didn't we? I don't think we brought it up a bunch of times.
I don't know.
We talked about...
If we want to be real about it, we could immediately segue into what happened at Dartmouth over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that? Please tell me you saw that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
the protest that basically turned into a hostage situation, for lack of a better term, where they were essentially putting people on the spot and demanding that they get on board and say the recite the shibboleth.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just going to sit there and yell at them.
Wasn't there a thing in a library too?
What it was.
Dartmouth. Oh my God.
Yeah. And again, do I even need to say it? A bunch of people bitching about oppression who are going to an Ivy League fucking school, the least oppressed people on earth, go to Ivy League schools.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Nasir writes in the comments, I'm a longtime listener of the show, and this particular show is the first time I felt compelled to comment. I wanted to address some of the issues that were brought up regarding Mizzou, and I applaud Bob and Jez for wanting to listen and be allies. Well, that's not bad. That was actually one of the
and
more
we do. Just because I'm pissed off about this doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, man, I'm always willing to listen. Swear to God.
Yep. Okay. So just that was just a taste of some of our comments. I wish I could actually read this one because it looks like it was well thought out. I mean, it's double spaced and everything from Ed, this one from Ed, who called us ignorant sluts.
It's kind of awesome.
It is kind of awesome. Okay, so let's get into to Paris and the terrorist attack that took place there on Friday. As in fact, it went down almost entirely as we were doing the after party. So we were kind of covering it on the fly during the after party, which you can subscribe to at patreon.com/Bob and Chez for $10 a month. So, by the way, just before we started the show, there was breaking news that came down. Again, this is I didn't have an opportunity to confirm this, but the headline is they found a ambulance loaded with explosives outside a soccer match in Germany. A suspected terrorist plot is thought to have been foiled in Germany after a series of bomb scares rocked Hanover. French intelligence officials are reported to have warned their German counterparts about a potential attack, sparking a string of security alerts. Terrorists might strike using an explosive-laden vehicle with official access to the football stadium, such as an ambulance, TV crew van, or security patrol car. According to German newspaper Bild, that's an efficient name for a newspaper. German newspaper, always efficient names.
Exactly, like, yeah, it's very efficient.
A North African terror cell was planning to attack anyone.
My name is Helmut. I am calling you from Bild.
It's not like the Bild Daily.
Yeah, it is Bild.
Bild. What's the name of your paper? Bild.
Bild.
Bild. Efficient. It was an Iraqi sleeper agent may have planned this attack. So they were able to thwart this attack in time. And I'm sure we'll learn more about that as time goes on.
It's only the beginning, man. It's only the beginning. Even the beginning. It's the middle.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely the middle. Because yesterday morning I woke up to news about a threat against Washington, D.C. And I'm still not sure whether or not they've confirmed that as being ISIS or being just a copycat or a fake or something. But it seems like, yeah, a threat against Washington, D.C. would be within the realm of what ISIS might plan next.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I talked to my mom, and I was thinking about going down to, flying out to Miami for Christmas. And, of course, she's very nervous that I shouldn't be flying for Christmas because that's – and it is. Technically, that's the perfect time, the perfect time to hit the U.S. And, obviously, they're, as we've seen before, the easiest targets for them seem to be airplanes.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm supposed to fly home right after Christmas, the day or the day after Christmas.
It's good doing the show with you. Can I take your half of the Patreon?
Well, no, this would be a good excuse for me to just stay home. Let's say, I'm sorry, you know, I just tell my parents, sorry, you know, terrorism. I don't want to be on an airplane because of the terrorists.
That's right.
Like, oh, okay, fine, sure, stay home.
I'm letting the terrorists win.
The German TV crew is from the news agency Die Welt. Another short, efficient name. Die Welt.
Die Welt actually has one of those meanings like Farfignugen. It actually means to be a German television crew in the year 2015 covering terrorism. That one word means all of that.
Die Welt. Okay, so meanwhile, here in the United States, all the Republican governors are completely ignoring all of reality and all factual basis and logic in order to oppose refugees coming to their states.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, I wrote a whole thing about it yesterday for Banter, how we have to. We have to continue to let refugees in. It's who we are.
Of course.
You do that. If you give up on that or you change your policy on that, then it's cliche, but the terrorists win.
Exactly.
But I say that not being naive. and knowing that absolutely precautions, as many precautions as you can come up with, have to be made. Because certainly you're letting in strangers from a very tumultuous part of the world where, yes, you would be stupid or deluded not to accept that it is possible for terrorists to infiltrate that group and therefore get into the country.
Yeah. And it's always so possible.
Take whatever precautions you need, but you have to let these people in.
I mean, it's just as possible that they're here already and they're planning things. And we're going to talk about Texas.
Well, it's like I know what you're going to play the thing from what's his name?
Waleed Ali. But I mean, there's this other thing from Texas that shows that they don't need to infiltrate the refugee groups.
Right.
Because to do because anything
the,
here.
The issue is that ISIS isn't, I doubt very seriously that ISIS is officially carrying out these attacks. Mm-hmm. Meaning that a group from Syria went to a certain area, then made it into Paris, and then engaged in these attacks. It's probably just people who sympathize with them.
Exactly.
And what happens is then, since they're doing it kind of in the name of ISIS, in the name of Islamic Jihad, ISIS gets to take the credit, and they will. They've said flat out that they will take credit for all of this.
Well, and
bigger than they actually are.
And all the perpetrators of Paris were all European nationals. Not a single one of them was a Syrian refugee. They were all people who lived in Europe already.
Yeah.
So, it's like, what are we going to now ban European immigrants? Are we going to ban, European visitors to the United States, too? To say that we're going to ban refugees from coming to our state is horseshit, because they can't. They can't ban refugees from coming to their state because they have no authority. The governors of all the states that have so far banned the refugees from coming to their state, even though they can't technically ban refugees. Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Wisconsin. How many of those states have Republican governors? All of them, except for New Hampshire. There's one Democrat in there, Maggie Hansen from New Hampshire.
Right.
All the rest of them. And, of course, Democrats never, cease to pander to Republicans anyway. But all of the rest of them are Republicans. And the Supreme Court has already said, nope, it's the federal government who deals with refugees and deals with immigration. Can't do it yourself. So this is all just basically pandering to the racist base. This is pandering to people who just don't want the refugees.
Right, and I like how I think it was Texas and Alabama that first they were the first two states.
Yeah,
and the best part about that is that the governors there are operating under the faulty assumption that A, there's anything at all worth attacking in Texas or Alabama, and B, Syrian refugees, want to come to a place that's even worse than the hellhole they just left.
Yeah, right.
You could just see them in Texas going, "We need to go back to Syria."
On that note, we're going to take a break and come back with more show right after this. Okay, let's talk Patreon. In case you're just joining us, we're rallying all of our listeners to sponsor our little podcast here. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll give you new full-length shows every weekday. Meanwhile, if you pledge $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, you'll not only help finance the show, but you'll also get Patreon-only rewards, such as our post-mortem show, our drunken after-party podcast, and for $15 per month, you'll get all of that, plus a commercial-free, unbleeped version of our full-length Tuesday and Thursday shows. If everyone listening right now pledged just $1 a month, that's 12 cents per show, we'd far exceed our goal. Go right now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you for your support.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Welcome back to our Tuesday show.
What the f*** is this?
Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway!
You're really playing Life is a Highway.
Why not? Well, you said on the Stephanie Miller Show Happy Hour that all of your music is, you know, your taste in music is formed by the 90s. So it was the 90s.
No, but that's true. But I also made it abundantly clear that the stuff that I hate, I hate.
And you hate the song?
Yes, please. What am I, in a Pixar movie?
Well, see, here's the deal. Like, half the songs I play because I like them, and the other half I play because they troll you. So that's how I come up with the song selections out of our commercial break. Hey, Chez will really hate this one. Let's go with Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And by the way, remember last week? It was sort of like last week was kind of like the summer of the shark. It was sort of pre-Paris. What were you doing pre-Paris? And the big issue of last week was the color of the Starbucks cups.
Yeah.
That they were just red and green and they didn't have any specific Christian imagery on them for Christmas. Well, this week, the Republicans are outraged about the Syrian refugees effectively saying, hey, you know what? There's no room at the inn for you. Which,
right.
You
know, yeah, I know. That was Oliver Willis's tweet was that went completely viral. It was just fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it went totally viral. I've seen memes now based on that. It was a great, great thought. It was just like, you know, here's just a bunch of people, bunch of families trying to escape persecution, and they're seeking asylum here. They want to come here. Or they want to come to a country where they can be free or at least escape the strife in Syria. I say, well, no. No room at the inn. Some Christian values you got there. You know, you'll be outraged because Starbucks doesn't put the nativity scene on the goddamn Starbucks coffee cup. But, you know, you can't offer any sort of temporary refuge to the same kinds of people, you know, Middle Eastern families looking for a place to stay, to be safe.
Right.
I wonder how many fetuses are in that group of refugees. There's, yeah, what, 4 million Syrian refugees? I wonder how many fetuses are among them. How many pregnant women are there? I know there's something like 50.5, something like that, percent of the refugees are women. So it stands to reason that at least some of them are pregnant. The Republicans denying entry to the fetuses? Why do they hate fetuses?
Good God. Look, dude, if you're Muslim, they'll hate you no matter what stage of life you're in.
Here's seven different Bible verses that should make it mandatory for anyone who calls themselves a Christian conservative to actually support letting the refugees in. Not even goddamn Condoleezza Rice is saying, you know what, I know the security risk, but we got to let the refugees in. So, I mean, there are some sensible Republicans, some good, God-fearing Christian Republicans who are okay with it. But then there's the other Christian, God-fearing Republicans who are like, no f***ing way! Get out of here, you filthy scum!
Scum!
Yeah. So here's several Bible verses. There's seven of them. There's Luke 10, 25-37. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, that ought to be, you know, enough evidence right there. There's Luke 3:11, in which John the Baptist is instructing a crowd of those asking for baptism to be fruitful in their efforts and create value in their lives rather than simply being satisfied with their current circumstances. When the crowd asked John the best way to do that, John the Baptist told them to share what they have with others. John answered, quote, anyone who has two shirts should share the one who has none, or with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same.
Dude, there isn't one modern Republican who adheres to that.
Nope.
Their entire worldview is based around the exact opposite of that. If you have two shirts and this poor guy doesn't have any, beat him up and take his pants.
Tell him to go get his own goddamn shirt.
Right. Tell him to get his own fucking shirt. Because it's what Ayn Rand would have done.
That's right. Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. That would be Hebrews 3:16.
It's you were here doing this, and it makes perfect sense. It does.
Of course.
It points out the just naked hypocrisy of these people. Mm-hmm. But it's also so worthless. I mean, it's been established long ago through, and it's been expressed so many different ways through memes and like that,
yeah,
in the social media age, that these people, whatever the Jesus is that they believe in, never actually existed. I mean, I don't think Jesus existed anyway.
Oh, no.
But the Jesus of the Bible is not the Jesus that these people worship.
Yeah, and we've said on the show.
The biblical principles that they shout from the rooftops are not the ones mentioned actually in the Bible.
We said on the show many times that both Jesus and Reagan, and who knows which one has a higher priority in the Republican Party, they're basically like empty vessels into which Republicans can, you know, dump all of their weird ideas. So what Jesus and Reagan actually did is completely irrelevant. It's what they did was only what Ted Cruz says they did. What the Republicans in the Tea Party say about Reagan is reality to them, even though it has nothing to do with the actual reality of what Jesus or Reagan really did. I mean, did you want to go through the rest of the list? I'll just name the chapters and verse. Matthew 25, 35 through 40. That was, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, etc. There's also James 2, 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister was without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, quote, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead.
Exactly. That's brilliant. Right,
that's
there.
Probably the best one, yeah. And then there's 1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Jesus, you people are screwed. All you Christians who think, screw those goddamn refugees. They can get their own goddamn food and shelter. Well, you're not very Christian, are you? And finally, there's Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. So that's it.
Where did you get all those? Are you like a biblical scholar?
I'm totally a biblical scholar. I'm really big into Jesus and the religion.
Chapter and verse.
Chapter and verse. Okay, then we move along to Texas, where a certain Texas lawmaker, of course, it's always a state-level representative. This guy named Tony Dale, Republican out of Cedar Park, Texas, said that we should keep Syrian refugees out of Texas. Why? Because it's too easy to get a gun there.
That's it. That's a hole opens up in the universe.
Yeah, that's exactly
the singularity right there.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking. That is so remarkably twisted that the refugees, which may be infiltrated by terrorists, shouldn't go to Texas because it's too easy for the bad guys to buy guns in Texas.
No fucking shit, dude.
Oh my God.
And the best part is the Republicans have no problem with that.
No problem whatsoever. Keep them out of Texas where they can easily buy guns. We're going to add another layer to this after a short break, back right after this. Hey folks, Bob here. Unlike the neck-bearded millennials, I shave every damn day. And for the last few weeks, I've been using Harry's shaving products, and I'll never go back to the stores for blades or ever pay those prices again. The Harry's razor fits in my hand and it fits my face. It's a quick and comfortable shave with really smooth results. See, Harry's was started by a couple of guys who passionately wanted to make shaving a better experience. In the process, they bought a German factory that's been making these engineered blades for 100 years. That means no more middleman, no more middleman prices. The blades come straight from that factory at factory prices. Now you can get a Harry's starter kit for just $10 if you use the code RELM, R-E-L-M, when you go to harrys.com. That's the razor, a month's supply of blades, and a lathering gel so thick you'll swear it's a dessert topping, and a little travel case to keep your blade fresh on the road. Say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables, and say hello to Harry's. High-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter the code RELM at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month of great shaves for just $10. Use the code RELM at harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Harry.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
I mean, I know how to say Harry's. I say Harry's all the time. For some reason, when I was recording that commercial, I kept saying, Harry's razors. I like Harry's razors in all my shoes and my glasses.
My glasses, so I can have them.
So I can have them.
I can't see,
goddammit. Second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. Hey, holiday shopping is right around the corner. We're just about, what, like a week and a half away from, well, yeah, we're like a week and a half away from Black Friday.
Nobody's getting anything.
Right. Now, if you...
you all.
If you don't want to go shopping on Black Friday, all you got to do is sit in the privacy of your own home, and then you go to bobsesca.com, and at the very top under the logo, it says Amazon link. Click that link, takes you right to the front page of amazon.com. You do all of your holiday shopping, you save a bunch of money, save a bunch of energy and time and frustration, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. Thank you in advance for supporting us through the holiday buy-in season. All right. Moving along now, yeah, in Texas, this guy, Representative Dale, said that it's really easy in Texas to buy guns. So what he wants to do is make a new law that's based on the California law that will make it harder for refugees, if they come to Texas, to actually buy a gun while they're there. So he said, so they could get a job in the airport.
So they finally found somebody that they don't want to sell a gun to.
Yeah, so much for shall not be infringed, huh?
Oh, you know what? Bidondi's head has exploded.
Infringe away, says Representative Tony Dale. Quote, so they could get a job in the airport, for example, and they could plant something on a plane like we saw on the Sinai Peninsula recently when the Russian airline was taken down. They could board a plane legally in the United States, stated Dale. On the matter of guns, Dale proposed amending Texas law along the lines of liberal California that would provide refugees with certain rights but make it harder for them to procure weapons. Quote, California, when they issue driver's licenses to non-citizens, specifically says that it is not to be used for a federal purpose, not to be used for employment, and that means it cannot be used to board a plane. And presumably, it could not be used to purchase a gun.
Up is down, black is white.
That's right. Shall not be infringed. Well, screw that. Screw that sacred Second Amendment when it comes to refugees living in Texas. Or any immigrants for that matter, presumably. But the fact of the matter is that, well, first of all, there are already a ton of terrorists living in the United States. Would-be potential terrorists, whether they're domestic terrorists, whether they're Islamic terrorists, doesn't matter. So what this guy has basically done is says, look, come on down to Texas where we can sell you a gun really easily. You're looking for weapons to commit terrorism. Texas is the place because it's really easy to get them here. Meanwhile, 2,000 terrorists between the year 2004 and 2014, over 2,000 terror suspects legally purchased guns in the United States. That's unbelievable. Given Francis Strick, this is the Washington Post, given Francis Strick gun laws, terrorists who attacked Paris on Friday may have turned to black market sources for the weapons they use, but in the United States, known and suspected terrorists are allowed to purchase firearms under federal law. Membership in a terrorist organization does not prohibit a person from possessing firearms or explosives under current federal law. The GAO concluded in 2010. The Government Accountability Office concluded this. Not some partisan liberal anti-gun group, but the GAO. The law forbids felons, fugitives, drug addicts, and domestic abusers from purchasing a firearm in the United States.
Shall not be infringed.
But people on the FBI Consolidated Terrorist Watch List typically placed there when there is a reasonable suspicion that they are known or a suspected terrorist, can freely purchase handguns or assault-style rifles. Well, isn't that nice? We have such nice gun laws here in the United States. Gun laws. The terrorists can buy guns, for God's sake. And as the GAO found, a number of them do. Between 2004 and 2014, suspected terrorists attempted to purchase guns from American dealers at least 2,233 times. And in 2,043 of those cases, 91% of the time, they succeeded. There are about 700,000 people on the watch list, a point that civil libertarians have made to underscore that many on the list may be family members or acquaintances of people with potential terrorist connections. But, you know, in 2004, there were about 50 gun sales, 2005, 150, rose steadily up to its high watermark in 2007 of nearly 300 guns sold to people on terrorist watch lists. And then it's hovered around 250 since then. So it's a great country. What a country we live in. Thank you, NRA. I wonder if that actually, if they wanted to close that loophole, if the NRA would oppose it or support it. That's the question of the hour.
Yeah.
Better yet, would Dan Bondi support it?
Probably not.
Would Dan Bondi support closing that loophole? Basically say, if you're on the terrorist watch list, you can't buy a firearm.
I would think that if for all of his insane stupidity that, yeah, he would not be opposed to it.
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to find out right now. In the middle of the show right here.
Why are you going to, like, say,
I'm gonna
shoot him a tweet?
I'm going to tweet to Dan Bondi and ask him.
Oh, man.
Dan, how do you feel about closing the gun purchase loophole?
They'll say they're not American citizens.
Allows people on the terror watch list to buy guns.
Shall not be infringed.
Terror's watch list. He's going to be against this.
He will be.
I'm putting my money on.
Oh, you what? That he'll be against them closing the loophole?
Yeah.
I think he'll be for closing the loophole. Because he'll make, I don't know, he'll make the argument that he'll try to say that they're not American or something. I don't know. He'll find some way. Oh, maybe not, though. Maybe you're right. Yeah.
I got to tweet the actual link to him and see what he thinks. I don't need to say his name. I'm cutting down so I can fit into the 140 character qualification here. Yeah, put a little dot front so everyone can read it. All right, so I sent that to Dan. We'll see if he replies before the end of the show.
It would be great if he just fired back a tweet that just says, da!
Da, da, da!
It just made his head explode.
Shall not be infringed! Shall not be infringed, Senator! Right. Gun-grabbing cameraman.
We're just a dumb country. We're just a f***ing stupid country.
We're really, really stupid.
Look at people like Dan Bondi. Look at, you know, look at who's running. Look at everybody who's running for president on the on the Republican side.
Yeah.
It's just tragic.
It really is. And the Republicans, the only reason they're winning anything, anywhere, is because they're pandering to the dumbness.
Right. Yeah, they're pandering to the stupidest people, and they've gerrymandered the districts.
Yep.
So that at the local level, it's easy for them to win.
I mean, the rage, we're going to talk about in the next segment, we're going to talk about a segment on Sean Hannity's show with Bo Dietl.
Oh, dear God.
In which they were basically returning to, what was it, basically fall 2001, spring 2002, on through the 2004 election, which was basically, well, screw rights. You can't have First Amendment rights if you're dead.
Oh, that thing, yeah.
That's...
I forgot that Bo Dietl was in Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's one of the cops at the end.
He probably wore his own clothes.
Goodbye, head.
Yeah, Bo Dietl and Sean Hannity think, well, we're going to talk about that coming up here. But there was another article that came out that confirming that white Americans are the biggest terror threat in the United States. That's it. White Americans, biggest terror threat in the United States, according to a study by the New America Foundation. The Washington-based research organization did a review of terror attacks on U.S. soil since September 11, 2001, and found that most of them were carried out by radical anti-government groups or white supremacists.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true.
Almost twice as many people have died in attacks by right-wing groups in America than have died in attacks by Muslim extremists. Of the 26 attacks since 9/11 that the group defined as terror, 19 were carried out by non-Muslim groups. 19 out of 26.
But they won't call that terrorism.
Absolutely
not. That's the problem. And they'll say that somehow that there's something okay with it because, well, it's our own people.
Yeah.
That's how they say. And, you know, even if our own people, even if it's an American Muslim...
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's an American citizen, that's still not, quote-unquote, our own people.
Attacks by right-wing groups...
That's not in the eyes of the right, anyway.
Attacks by right-wing groups get comparatively little coverage in the news media. Most people will struggle to remember the shooting at a Sikh temple in Wisconsin that killed six people in 2012. Of course, a man who was associated with neo-Nazi groups carried out that shooting. There was also the married couple in Las Vegas who walked into a pizza shop and murdered two police officers. They left a swastika on one of the bodies before killing a third person in a Walmart parking lot. Such attacks are not limited to one part of the country. In 2011, two white supremacists went on a shooting spree in the Pacific Northwest, killing four people. You know, on and on and on and on. But yet we're actively and for political expedience demonizing Syrian refugees. even though some 50% of Syrian refugees are under the age of 17, 36% of that group is under the age of 12. I mean, again, going back to what I said at the top of the show, you know, I wonder how many fetuses are among the refugees.
There's got to be some.
Goddamn.
Yeah,
Republic.
But you know what? You can't let them in because then they turn into anchor babies.
That's true. They do. Okay, we're going to take one last break. Back with more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Coming up on Friday's After Party, you can subscribe at patreon.com/Bob and Chez, by the way. On Friday's After Party, I got to talk about Amy Schumer's most recent HBO special, her new HBO. Have you seen it yet?
I've seen part of it.
Oh, my God. It is easily, I would put it in the top five best stand-up specials I've ever seen. It was endlessly hilarious. We're going to talk about that on Friday's show. Just there was
kind of, you know what's really sad? I'm over Amy Schumer.
Are you
it's
really?
It's just the amount of press that she's gotten.
Hmm.
You know, that's the hipster turd in me.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, no, man, I liked her when she was, you know, wasn't famous. But actually kind of, yeah, I'm just kind of tired. I mean, I think she's very, very funny. I've always thought that. But I'm kind of tired of hearing about how she's, you know, more than just a comic.
You got to watch her HBO special.
I watched it. And, you know, it's
good. You saw parts of it. You got to watch it from beginning to end. It gets better and better and better as it goes on. To the point, did you see the Michelle Obama bit? I'm not going to reveal what it is. Let's not reveal what it is.
But I think I saw it on YouTube.
Okay. Because there's a Michelle Obama bit that had me on the floor laughing. It was, well, we'll talk about it on the After Party.
Okay.
But it was so goddamn fun. All right. And then, of course, you've got to be the hipster contrarian.
Yes.
I mean, it was basically like May. Wasn't it May when you were saying, Amy Schumer is on the cusp of being the next big thing?
Yeah, and she is. And she's awesome. Trust me. I think she's funny as I'm just kind of, you know, I'm kind of tired of it. I'm sort of over it. Which makes me suck, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm the first one to say it.
Yeah, you do. You totally suck. You suck. All right. Here's we talk about Sean.
But she is f***ing hilarious.
She's very hilarious. Okay, we're going to talk about Fox News Channel and the segment on Hannity. I know you always love talking about that stuff. Bo Dietl basically said that we need to stop worrying about our rights. Sean Hannity agreed with him. I mean, it was a doofus conversation. And, you know, I wonder when I hear these things whether or not they even care that they're flip-flopping like every time a new topic comes up. Like every time there's a topic that involves Obama somehow, that they just take the opposite position, even if it means contradicting something that they have only recently just said.
No, they don't. Again, how many times have we said this?
Mm-hmm.
How many times now?
Yeah.
The only thing you need to keep in mind, drop all of the contradictions, drop all of the hypocrisy. All you need to know is they actually have one position. Mm-hmm. And that is, whatever Obama says, it's wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, here they were talking about surveilling mosques. And, you know, screw rights. You don't need rights if they're going to kill us. I mean, that's what we heard throughout the Bush administration from guys like Sean Hannity. You can't have First Amendment rights if you're dead. That's all we heard. We also heard that you should never criticize the commander-in-chief when troops are in harm's way. That hasn't stopped them from criticizing Barack Obama over everything, including a tan suit and the fact that he likes arugula. Okay, here's Bo Dietl talking with Sean Hannity on Fox News Channel last night.
When you see what we saw Friday night, I was on Charles' show, and Charles said, Bo, what would you do? You know, I said, right away, I says, you've got to go in and save what...
Right away, I says. Right away, I says. By the way, the I says isn't in the Media Matters transcript. There's giving them so much credit. They're being so fair to Bo Dietl. It says, you know what I said right away? You've got to go in right away. He doesn't, okay. There's never, I says, when Bo Dietl in fact says, you know what I said right away? I says, you got to go in right away. You can't because they're
your
I says.
In your shoes so you can have them. Frank Rizzo, open your fucking ears, jackass.
I had one of those firecrackers left over from the 4th of July, and I says, I blew them right off in my hand.
I'll bring my nub.
I says, I can't even see fingers, but maybe that's because I says they're all numb and stingy.
Stingy, I love that.
I says,
yeah.
Oh man! All right, let's get back to this Bo Dietl thing.
When you see what we saw Friday night, I was on Charles' show, and Charles said, "Bo, what would you do?" You know, I said right away. I says, "You've got to go in and save whatever hostages you can, because they have one thing. There's no negotiating. They're willing to die. We're dealing with crazy people that want to die. But, you got to take headshots and take them out."
Our FBI, our national intelligence—they're all warning us why our president won't listen. They will infiltrate that community,
they'll
come to them.
They're here already.
Right.
The best way to deal with this problem is you have to take away their territories. We don't have that strategy right now.
Yeah, okay. And he said, Dietl says, we broke so many plots by eavesdropping on these radical mosques. We've got to do it again. And let's stop worrying about people's rights. Wow. And Sean Hannity agrees with him. Now, just to illustrate the point we made at the top of the segment, here's Sean Hannity in 2013. This is just 2 years ago. Talking about Barack Obama and NSA surveillance and the Edward Snowden story.
Big Brother is monitoring your every move, whether it be online or on the telephone. Let's talk about why this story, why is this important to you? Number one, this is America. And as law-abiding American citizens, you have a right to privacy. Number two, these actions by the Obama administration are clear, very clear violation of the Fourth Amendment, which prohibits unreasonable search and seizure. Number three, the Constitution.
Sad music.
Yeah.
You're being persecuted.
It's impressive that Sean Hannity can count to three. I mean, I think that's really good. That's a step forward for him.
No, he can do it. Kilmeade can't. Kilmeade's the one who would go, 1, 2, 7.
And then after seven comes this many.
Right.
And he holds up his hand.
11, 11-3.
Oh, gotta love
you. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the hypocrisy is right there for you. It's just clear as a bell.
Exactly. And they're not there.
When Obama does it, when Republicans do it, it's okay. When Obama does it, oh my God, you're right. Here comes the piano music. Your rights are being infringed upon.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm the first one to say that considering that the threat of terrorism, I don't give a shit. Take my fucking metadata. I don't care.
Right. You know what? I never bothered.
If it stops somebody from going on a coordinated rampage in downtown Los Angeles and killing a bunch of people, fuck yeah.
Right.
You feel free to monitor people's phone calls.
Sure. You know, they were saying the same thing during the Bush years. And then as soon as Barack Obama starts exercising the same powers that Bush created, then suddenly it's wrong. And now that there's a terrorist attack, we got to do all those things. So in a strange way, Sean Hannity and Bo Dietl are coming out in support of Barack Obama's policies on surveillance and so on. But they don't want to say it, and they don't want their people to know it. So they're making it seem like Barack Obama is, again, not doing anything.
Yeah, of course. But of course,
you know, which I said, I made the point on John Fugelsang's show on Monday that what we see are two different views, two very, very different views of the Obama administration. On one hand, on the far left, he's a bloodthirsty baby killer who relentlessly drones children. And then on the far right, he's this effete, you know, effeminate wimp who doesn't do a goddamn thing and is hell-bent on implementing Sharia law inside the United States.
Pretty much.
Somehow, somewhere, there's, you know, there's a Barack Obama that really exists and has a policy that is real and somewhat effective insofar as you can be effective with a policy inside the Middle East. You know, and that person actually exists. We're not getting a clear view from the far right and the far left, for that matter. And by the way, feel free to fill up the comments about that remark, too, because it is in fact true. You know, I wrote something on Facebook yesterday, and I wanted to read this because I think it still applies today. It was another one of those days, I wrote on Monday. The left is pissing me off almost as much as the right. Seriously, you don't have to support going full Cheney in the Middle East, but ISIS is still a threat and must be tenaciously confronted somehow. Furthermore, the ISIS threat to Washington appears to be real, and if you're dumb enough to think it's a false flag, I don't even want to know you. To quote Bernie Sanders, yes, Bernie Sanders, who, by the way, said he'd continue the Obama drone program with some modifications, during the Democratic debate, he said, "Together, leading the world, this country will rid our planet of this barbarous organization called ISIS." I agree with Bernie.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it. I mean, I was going through comments yesterday, and I was seeing, because I did, I actually posted something about the ISIS threat against Washington. And everyone's saying that it was either a false flag or the Republicans are doing something to make it seem like ISIS in order to suit their own political goals. Or why does this always happen in an election year, even though it's not an election year?
Right.
It's not an election year until next year. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, shut the hell up. First of all, it's not helpful. And like some of the topics we've talked about last week, it's making the left look ridiculous. And we don't need to do that. All we need to do is to sit back, let the Republicans self-destruct, and keep our mouths shut, at least when it comes to, creating unforced errors on our side.
Right.
So please, for God's sake, let's be reasonable about this. Yes, we have to go after ISIS. But no, we don't need to overly exaggerate the threat. Yes, we need to let refugees into the United States. But we also probably would do well to have some sort of screening going on as they come in. You know, it's just,
totally.
It's sensible, it's reasonable, it's logical, but everyone, you know, something like this happens and everyone stakes out these familiar positions. It's like we got into a time machine and went back to 2001. Seems like the same shit all over again. Stuff that has changed and developed and morphed and is no longer, I'm talking about talking points specifically, that no longer apply to what's going on now. And right. It gets to the point where it's absolutely infuriating. It's like listening to Sean Hannity, but on the left. It's just like, for God's sake, you cannot deny that there is a terrorist organization called ISIS, and they could do something at any moment. That's not to say that we need to completely freak out and give up all of our civil liberties, but certainly there's nothing wrong with being prepared and doing like what Bernie Sanders said. To rid our planet of this barbarous organization called ISIS. And if you're against what Bernie Sanders said, take it up with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. And you love Bernie Sanders. If you're on the left, you'll love Bernie Sanders.
That's right.
He's great.
That's absolutely
right. He's the bestest.
Right. So, we didn't get to the Waleed Ali commentary, which we'll play on the post-mortem show. Also, Sarah Palin weighed in on ISIS and eventually maybe running for president.
Oh, please let that happen. Please, just let that happen.
Oh, and also, this is not news insofar as we've heard this sort of thing before. But it's news insofar as it just happened, which is that Jesse Waters is acting like a d**k again.
Of course he is.
Did we talk about the fact that he's got his own show now?
Yeah, we did. Show. I think I heard his recent quote.
Hmm. Yeah, the one about he went out to University of Missouri, of course, because it's ripe for the trolling. And so, you know, a troll's got a troll. And so he went to University of Missouri and...
Trollers got a troll.
Poked them annoyed. Hey, what are you doing here?
Hey.
Where's your safe place? One of the things he was doing was mistaking a safe place with personal space. So... He didn't quite understand the concept of a safe space, even though as much as Chez and I don't like that concept, we understand what it is. Jesse Waters thought it meant personal space. So he was deliberately getting into people's personal space, which to me is like, well, doesn't he always do that? But that was part of his shtick. Like, I'm getting up in your personal space, dude. Asshole. All right, that's coming up on the Postmortem Show. If you want to listen to it... It's sort of like a mini after party with lots of profanity and everything we didn't get to on the free show. Go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or you can click the link at the top of bobseska.com. It's really easy. It's really convenient. You go there and you pledge a certain dollar amount per month. It supports the show. Plus, you get all kinds of free Patreon extra. Well, they're not free. I mean, actually, to pay Patreon. But you get lots of rewards for doing that. Including the Postmortem Show at the $5 level. At the $10 level, you get the Postmortem Show and the After Party. At the $15 level, you get the Postmortem Show, the After Party, and an unbleeped, not safe for work, commercial-free version of this year's show. Thank you for all of your support at Patreon. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you on the Postmortem Show. If not, see you on Thursday. Bye-bye.